All right, you're ready to roll.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalko, meeting for an informal today. It is Wednesday, January, I always do this, January 29th at approximately 2:15. We're meeting for an informal today on case number PU 13-796, dealing with wind decommissioning for Minkota. It has a couple turbines that we're going to talk about today. I don't have any opening comments, but I will defer to my colleagues if they have any. Commissioner Christman?
I do not either.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't.
If we could just go on the table and let us know who everybody is, starting with to my left.
Sure. I'm Joel Larson. I'm staff attorney at Minkota Power Cooperative out of Grand Forks.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Jerry Leon with staff.
Patrick Fawn with staff.
Brian Rouse, staff attorney, PSC.
All right. Thank you all. Joel, you were in the room for all the questions we asked of the previous company. So I'll just turn it over to you, and maybe you could give us the highlights, then we'll go from there and ask any questions we might have. Anybody else joining us today? Or?
No one is, no, just me.
So you're here to handle everything that the previous company took five people to handle?
Yep, that's how we do it.
All right.
We're cooperative, so.
All right, thank you, Joel.
Absolutely. Well, Minkota is a generation and transmission electric cooperative. We have 11 member owners who are distribution cooperatives located in northeastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. We serve approximately 122,000 customers through those distribution cooperatives. We have the Infinity Wind Project, which has two 900 kW wind towers, both of them located within our distribution districts, one in the Cass area, Cass County Electric Cooperative area, which is near Valley City, just east of Valley City, right along Interstate 94, so I'm sure we've all seen that one. And then the other turbine is located right along Highway 2, just east of Petersburg, North Dakota. And that one is actually located in the Nodak Electric Cooperative area. I don't necessarily need to repeat what's in the decommissioning plan, but I can tell you a couple extra things. We have, with our 11 distribution co-ops, we have take-or-pay contracts, so they have to buy the power that we generate until 2055, so we're not a company that's going anywhere anytime soon. Credit rating, I think, was a question I heard earlier, and I was surprised to hear that we have the same credit rating through Moody's. We have a Baa1, and Standard & Poor's, we have an A-. I think that was the same as NextEra, and I was asked if
Repeat
I was
those again, please.
Sure. Baa1 through Moody's, and Standard & Poor's, we have an A- for the credit ratings. And I listened into when Kevin Soley was here 2 weeks ago, and I listened to that, and there was a couple questions I think that were asked of him regarding the spill plans, and I kind of came prepared to answer those questions if you would like. And other than that, I think that I wouldn't necessarily have too much more to add to what you heard from the NextEra individuals. Other than that, you know, we're located here in North Dakota. We have certainly smaller, we have two wind turbines, so we don't have as much total dollar amounts in the game. In the Valley City Tower, the owner of the land there is actually a friend of my father's, because I grew up in Valley City, so I think we have perhaps a few more local, intimate connections with the owners or the landowners at stake, so we do have personal connections there, you know, in addition to just a company that's we're going to do the right thing at the end of the day when we need to take these towers down. So I can answer any questions that anyone does have, though.
Okay. Thank you, Joel. Before I forget, would you offer up your testimony today as your portion for the informal?
Yes, I will.
And we'd be happy to receive it. The just a couple quick ones for me. You show 20 years as useful life, and I just don't get the range. Why?
I had the same question, because I actually read Mr. Soley's and the plan submitted by Chris's firm, and I looked at it as 35 years, and Soley's was it 25, I think his was? And I had the same question of our engineers, and they said, well, you know, these two turbines were some of the first ones put in North Dakota. It was maybe earlier technology, maybe a little, the studies were different at the time, and those are just the numbers that we used initially. And right now they're on the books as 20-year assets, and they're being depreciated along that same path. And that's kind of where our numbers come up with. However, we have Our maintenance records and the plans that we do for maintenance, we're expecting certainly longer than 20 years. We're coming up on one of them. We're in the 13th year, and we still have a relatively new turbine. And our records are good, so we're really expecting more than 20 years. We just, I guess, haven't taken the time to do the research to change it. It was just when we bought these from the manufacturer, they told us these are our 20-year turbines, and that's just the number that we've stuck with.
It's a fair answer. You've made a planning estimate, and you've built your budget accordingly, or whatever it might be. That so it can be certainly. I would just say that at some point in time, as this thing continues to unfold, to update those, and that's maybe where we get to. That we'll let you know the 10-year period is what this is. Maybe 5 years from now we want an update. I don't know where we'll go, but the one thing of these two that strikes me is that they're just. I always thought when these were built, they're more of a show project to where get people used to wind turbines that. They're not going to be used for wholesale generations, just kind of get people used to it. So it'll be interesting what happens because they're not part of a much larger system.
Right. They were a billboard,
yep.
So to speak.
Absolutely. Okay, and the other question you may have already asked was when I look at the depreciation table, 2002 to 2021, it's just a straight line 5%. Is that the way you normally depreciate assets?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I just, because I'm more familiar with heavy up front, and I guess that's once again just a plan that you've laid into place.
Right. It was just a conservative approach, I think, because like you said, this was a, this was for show. It was educational, and we wanted to kind of to learn about wind and to kind of open some of our cooperative members' eyes to wind energy and renewable energy. And so it started out like that. So we just took a conservative approach. It wasn't something that we anticipated being very financially wise, and I think it was an okay investment, but we depreciated 5% per year just because we were trying to keep it conservative and safe.
All right, thank you. That's all that I had. Commissioner Crispin?
Would you just share with us the information that you brought with as far as fluids that are there that might
sure.
take special work and any dangerous metals or anything like that?
Yeah, and what I was told is that there is no... there aren't any hazardous materials that's going to require any special permits or any special permissions or anything. What I asked about the spill plan, and our engineers told me that this is under 1,320 gallons in these turbines, and apparently that's the number that we need in order to file and have an approved spill plan and spill procedure in place. So we don't have one for those procedures. We do use outside contractors to do all the maintenance and changing the oil and everything, and they have their own procedures. What they do, and our plan is to utilize the same companies that are doing the maintenance. Our hope, I guess, would be to hire the same people. We have a good working relationship with them now, and we trust them. So we'll hire them to remove the fluids and the more sensitive fluids that we need to be more careful with. So we'll hire people that we work with and that we trust to do it. And with this plan, you know, Minn Kota is, we don't have the equipment to do the work ourselves. So again, this would be something we would put out for bids and get the best price that we could to take it down. These are, of course, estimates based on some current relationships we have with different heavy construction outfits. And that's just the numbers that we were given from them, that we'd work with people that we're comfortable and get a good price with. So,
do you know whether the non-metal parts, I suppose it's fiberglass, but mm-hmm. whatever it is that something that can just be landfilled or something, or does that take any kind of special landfill licensing or what?
I don't know that answer to that question. I don't remember that one from Mr. Soli's. Was it Sully?
I forgot about these with the last people, but we talked about it with Kevin.
Okay. And that one, I guess I don't remember the landfill part. What our anticipation is that we're going to, with the metal that's there that we're going to salvage, assuming we salvage it just for scrap, is put that out for bids and we'll take it down, and then someone else is going to come and cut it up, and it'll be all something that will be done by third parties for the best price that we can possibly do.
No other questions.
Okay.
I just throw a thought on there, Randy. We had a jet crash more than one time in the Marine Corps. When it's all said and done, you got to put the jet in the landfill. it's very hard to landfill anything with fiberglass and the components. So it's, but if you put it out, that'll be a cost you'll deal with.
Right.
But it's, wouldn't have thought it'd be easier. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Since these are sort of billboards, are they actually producing much? And do you intend to keep them running, or would you look at decommissioning these perhaps before they're maybe the tower is worn out?
No, they're producing well enough that we are going to keep them going as long as they will. They're, I mean, you know, maybe billboards is the wrong word because they are an asset and they are producing electricity for customers in that area. And certainly there are customers who are very appreciative that we have renewable resources on our books and would like to see us keep it that way. So we'll keep them as long as they produce. I think our numbers are 12 months of, maybe it's 24 months of not producing power, and then we decommission them. And until that time, we will keep them. I mean, if they last 50 years, wonderful. That'll be a good bargain at that point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then because they are in well-traveled locations, right, the reclamation probably becomes even more important because it's going to be so visible. It needs to be done right. The one on I-94 for years, about when the tower gets close is about the time that our kids were sick of being in the car on the way to Fargo. And so it always offered a really nice distraction to be like, oh, look, there's a wind tower. And this is when they were more novel. Now that probably wouldn't work, but back then it was kind of novel. And so it served as a nice distraction for several years. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Sure.
I don't think I have any additional questions unless you have thoughts on what kind of a financial assurance your company would like us to rely on to prove that you have the wherewithal to decommission these effectively.
Sure. I was going to ask that question too because I think your last paragraph says what your preference would be.
Be to do nothing?
Right.
Yeah.
that's a good question, but that's the way I read it. Because of the above, we suggest that no financial assurance be required of Minn Kota. That's what your viewpoint would be, correct?
I think so.
Because of the bond rating, so that would be the assurance.
Yeah, I think that rating. we have a credit rating that is sufficient for this amount of money. Mm-hmm. We're not opposed to doing whatever the commission desires, of course, and we're here to stay. The amount of money total, I think, if our estimates are even close, it's going to be under $250,000. And for a company that serves 122,000 customers and has 11 distribution cooperatives, we've got that kind of money, you know, cash on hand. We don't need to save it and plan it. It's not on the books anywhere. It's a small enough dollar amount for us that it's just something that we'll pay when the time comes.
And when you say you'd prefer to not, I can't remember how it was worded, not put up money up front.
Right.
Because of your credit rating, doesn't your credit rating really come into play for us if, in fact, you sign a corporate guarantee?
It does. And
so is a corporate guarantee or self-bond, is that something that you think the company is fine with? Or
we do that in, and I think this conversation was had with Mr. Soli, but we do have corporate guarantees, letters of financial assurance, I think is how they're worded, for our, is it the spill ponds out at the plant? I think it's the spill ponds or something. I can't remember what it is, but we do that, and we'd be open to doing the same thing again. It is a time intensive. It involves about six individuals, and it's all people that work within the company. It's their job to do it, but it does take a certain amount of time, and then that amounts to an expense, which eventually flows down to our members. And that is just something that we, as a cooperative, look to avoid spending money if there's a way to avoid it. And at the very least, it's just we want the least cost so that is the least amount of money flows down to our members is our ultimate goal.
Anything else, Randy? I should see if Jerry or Pat or Ryan have anything. Jerry?
I'm good, I think.
Okay. Patrick? So, Ryan? One more time around the table. Julie? Randy?
I had one more. Something just popped into my head. The question.
It's your case.
Yeah. The question was asked earlier about the 3-foot versus 4-foot when reclaiming the concrete pad. we, our plan, again, and both of these pads are actually in not, well, the one by Petersburg is in a pretty good location that the landowner may want to keep it and use it for grain bins or a shop or something out there. I think the one by Valley City is, you know, up on a hill in a pasture, so it's less ideal to probably reuse that. But that's going to be an option that we would leave out there. And then the we put three, we're going to reclaim it down to 3 feet in our decommissioning plan, but our easements also said 4 feet. And when I read through the other submissions, I dug through to try to figure that out and answer that question for myself. And I found, so I believe that even though we have 3 feet in here, our easements require 4 feet, and we will follow what our easements, what our agreements with the landowners are. So that will be reclaimed to 4 feet.
Well, if you choose to update your decommissioning plan in the future, put it in there.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. Anything else you'd have?
No, nothing further. Thanks.
Okay. Going once, going twice. You got off easy because we had all the questions.
That's right.
All right, well, thank you very much. We'll close the informal on case number PU 13-796. All right, thank you all.
Before we completely break up, though, apparently our rules, we're done with this, okay. Require that if I wanted to submit my comments from this morning into the minutes, I need to time. So I wanted to submit my comments as a consenting opinion on our decision this morning.